The public today will decide how much tweeting Chinese style is worth.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Delta Airlines, the U.S. airline offering personal on-demand entertainment at every seat on all long-haul international flights. Delta, keep climbing.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. There's a Paul Klee print hanging in a New York museum from the year 1922. It's titled The Twittering Machine. Well, the Twittering Machine of China wants to sell stock to the public for the first time. Weibo is also a money-making machine. Rory Ketlin-Jones is technology correspondent for our partners, the BBC.
I think Weibo is looking to internationalize. It's already got quite a lot of Chinese users outside China, expatriates. It's even got some celebrities. Apparently, Brad Pitt and the UK Prime Minister David Cameron have both had seen a Weibo accounts. And by offering its shares on New York's Nasdaq, it's kind of stating its ambitions to be more than addressing just the Chinese market.
Weibo's IPO today has issues beyond the global downturn that tech stocks have suffered in the last 2 weeks.
It's not the only social media platform in China. It was growing incredibly rapidly. It was a huge success. But it's now got a very determined rival in WeChat from Tencent, another kind of Twitter-like service, which may be becoming more fashionable. And there are also all those political issues. What's going to be the level of censorship by the Chinese authorities from now on, whether that will put off users, signs that user growth is slowing. So not the best time for Weibo to come to the market.
Weibo trading on the Nasdaq market is set to begin later this morning. 5 years ago, the then chairman of Ireland's biggest bank made loans to wealthy customers who then used that money to buy stock in the bank. A jury in Ireland has just found that the chairman of Anglo-Irish Bank, Sean Fitzpatrick, did not act illegally. The jury is still considering the case of two of his deputies. Anglo-Irish Bank imploded in 2009, costing the Irish Treasury more than $40 billion. In the U.S., United Health Group has just reported its first quarter net income fell 8%. Profits were $1.1 billion compared to $1.2 billion a year ago. Funding cuts from the government's health care overhaul are part of this. Now that all those additional people are signed up for health care insurance, companies may need some new strategies, Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Health insurance companies may have good news this first quarter. More enrollment, more premiums, more revenue.
Well, okay, that's great, but for those people who had services provided, the insurer is not going to see the claims for yet another maybe month or two.
That's Joel Shalowitz. He studies healthcare at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. In other words, they're collecting premiums, but now they're going to find out what they owe for claims. Vishnu Lakraje is an analyst for Morningstar. He says, sure, the ACA gave insurance companies a bigger customer base, but it came with strings attached.
They're restricted as far as the profitability or gross profitability on these contracts. And overall, there's more competition in the market. There's more transparency. There's more regulation. I mean, I do still see some tough headwinds for the industry and for most of the players.
At best, he thinks the strongest players will see flat profits for years to come. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
How about the numbers? The FT 100 in London is down 0.1% right now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix with GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Reputation.com, offering tools to manage online reviews and search results for professionals and small businesses. Learn more at Reputation.com. And by Slacker Radio, delivering handcrafted streaming radio to the web, smartphones, and tablets with over 13 million songs and talk programs, including Marketplace. More at Slacker.com.
And now from the Marketplace tetrahydrocannabinol desk, we don't have one, but it seems like we should, we'll switch to Colorado's commercial real estate boom that has followed the legalization of marijuana. From Denver, here's reporter Nova Safo.
Drive 10 minutes northeast of downtown Denver, and you come to a gritty industrial area next to the train tracks.
Evan?
Hey there.
Hi,
how's
I'm
it
Nova.
Hi.
This is where
sorry.
Evan Schick works.
This is the main vegetation room.
Schick is a so-called master grower for Walking Raven, a Denver pot dispensary. And we're at the small warehouse where he grows marijuana plants. There are energy-guzzling grow lights everywhere and a ventilation system that's always whirring.
When it's fully utilized, there's 750 to 800 plants.
Those plants used to provide enough medical marijuana to meet customer demand, but not anymore.
We used to see approximately 100 people through our store every day. Now we're seeing approximately 300 people through our store every day.
Luke Ramirez is Evan Schick's boss, co-owner of the Walking Raven dispensary. Now that he's selling recreational pot, he's looking for additional growing space to meet demand. So far, Ramirez has seen more than a dozen warehouses, and every time he's been priced out or too slow.
You know, I just won't go into a warehouse blind, so I have to do my diligence, get my guys in there, and sometimes it gets leased or purchased out from under me while I'm doing my diligence.
In just a year, the warehouse vacancy rate in Denver dropped from 6% to 4%. That means rents have crept up for all industries. Taylor West is with the National Cannabis Industry Association. She says expect the same phenomenon in other states that have legalized marijuana.
Either the state is involved in the growing or is pinpointing the areas where the grows can happen. But regardless, it's going to be an area that continues to need more space.
For Denver's pot industry, that's increasingly hard to come by. It's already gobbled up about 80 football fields worth of warehouse space. In Denver, I'm Novosofo for Marketplace.
And what starts as a little coffee item here is really a very substantial story about our moral duties in the workplace. There's a study in the Journal of Applied Psychology that finds that drinking coffee at work seems to make people less likely to go along with unethical behavior. That is, caffeine seems to give a boost not just to your consciousness, but to your conscience. Here's perhaps a bigger takeaway. The researchers from the University of North Carolina, Washington, and Arizona have found that not getting enough sleep makes you prone to being dishonest, which may explain a lot. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The American shopping mall as we know it is dying. So, what do you suppose the new one's like?
Now it's where people walk their dogs and they're out with their kids and they're hanging out. It's an extension of their backyard.
I'm telling you, it really was. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the mall of the future, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.